This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Hi and hello again. Spring is officially here. It finally arrived officially, but it has been here unofficially for, I'm not sure, did we see winter? I guess it was cold for a while.
There were some days it got below freezing.
Yeah. And it was very cold for a while. And it was gloomy and gray.
It was. Yep.
Of course, it sort of looks gloomy and gray today.
It's gloomy and gray, but it doesn't feel cold.
No, it's, 70-something degrees out there. Almost 67 right now.
Yeah, it'll be there, I guess.
Mitchell Moat with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Things are popping over there, I tell you.
All sorts of things. They are. It's a busy time of the year. So the people are really taking an interest in getting back outside again. And so they have questions, and we try to provide them with some information to, you know, and give them an opportunity to accomplish what their goals are in terms of their lawns and their gardens and their landscapes. We have a session today, as a matter of fact, to maybe help some folks do that. This is the fourth Thursday of the month, so this is Brown Bag Lunch Program Day. And today's topic is organic pest control options for the lawn and the landscape areas, and that'll be at 11:30 at the Lane Agri Park Auditorium there at 315 John Rice Boulevard.
Just show up.
Yeah, lunch or not, you know. If you don't have one, we don't provide you one. But if you do have one, we don't take it away either. So there you go.
Sometimes when they forget the lunch, does the rumbling stomachs, you know, distract?
No, usually the person that's talking is so loud you can't hear it.
Oh, okay. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Ruby Simpson, and I would like to ask Mitchell, what variety of strawberries to plant? What's a good variety?
Good variety. Chandler's been a pretty good variety over the years.
Chandler
variety of strawberries.
Okay.
Hey, can you get that around here?
It's not an uncommon variety. I don't know if anybody has it locally or not right now, but you should be able to find Chandler.
You might go over to Martin's Home and Garden. They have a great supply of different plants there, and I think they would probably be most apt to have it. Chandler
is is, and there are a lot of good varieties though.
But that's, how do you spell that?
C H A N D L E R.
Oh, just like it's okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know anything about the ever-bearing strawberry?
Not in particular, no. I mean, they
thank
do
better. Thank you very much.
All right, well, good luck to you.
I tell you, she's making me hungry. I love strawberries.
Strawberries, yeah, good fresh strawberries.
So if you planted them now, about when could you be enjoying them?
If you planted them now, strawberries are going to, you know, normally they come into bearing on fall planted berries towards the end of May. You might get a crop in June, start to get some in June.
Huh, okay. Let's go to the phones again. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question.
Okay.
I have two peach trees, and every year they have a worm in each peach. Is it too late to spray that peach now? I got little peaches already on the tree.
No, it's not too late at all. No, sir, you're not too late whatsoever. And you'll probably want to make some multiple applications.
When does that worm actually get in that little peach?
Well, it's when the moth is out there laying eggs, and I don't believe they're hardly out there yet, because it's just the life cycle in that moth. It's just a stage in its life cycle. And so those little boogers usually come out a bit later in the spring. You would be, I think, well served to go ahead and begin making those spray applications. If you have access to the internet, we have a fruit tree spray schedule located there at our website.
Would co-op have the same thing?
The co-op would not have our spray schedule, no.
No, they wouldn't. I don't have access to internet.
Well, I tell you what, if you can stop by the extension office, you can pick one up there and just pick a copy of it up. And what it'll do, it'll outline for you kind of when to do what in terms of things to do to help keep the bugs and the diseases out of those fruits.
Thank you a lot.
All right. Yes, sir.
Have a good day. 893-1450. By the way, if there are some of you who have had good success with strawberries in the past, call us. Like to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. See what varieties they've used. Yeah, there are lots of good varieties.
And they do grow well here.
Yeah, strawberries are not uncommon.
What about the different other types of berries that do well here? Is this the time of the year to plant them if you want blueberries, blackberries, things of that sort?
Well, honestly, if you wanted them this year, planting them last fall would have been a better time to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's they blackberries and for instance, the brambles, they tend to bear on the second year's canes. So a cane produced this year is going to be the ones that will bear fruit the following year.
So this year you need to go visit Angie Clino at the blueberry farm.
Patch. Yeah, yeah. Or if you want blueberries or if you want blackberries, you know, find a wild patch somewhere. And
do they have many of the wild ones around? I mean, are they?
Yeah, they're wild.
Just
wild
everywhere.
Blackberries.
Okay.
A lot of times, folks that have them in their pastures are looking to get rid of them because they're taking up pasture space. And, you know, cattle are certainly not going to consume them. But if you do that, just put on your chigger guards and be on the lookout for snakes.
Head out there, yeah. Well, that makes it an adventure.
Well, it is. Yeah, that's something you can think about. Those berries are worth a lot because you sure work to get them.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about bears. I don't think.
Probably not, but you never know. But odds are not in your favor of running across a bear.
No,
I don't think here in the county picking blackberries.
The bears up in East Tennessee, they like them too.
Apparently.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Doing great, Mitchell. I was raised in the city, and I moved out here on this little 8-acre farm, and I got introduced to some chiggers. And I had a farmer tell me up at Las Casas that our chiggers in Tennessee had an overbite. I'm going to hang up and listen, okay?
Okay. Thank you for calling. They do bite down hard.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
They do. And unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of advancements, I guess, in chigger dentistry in the last few years, although I understand it is an emerging field.
Mm-hmm.
But folks are truly a specialist when they go into that area.
But they are not very, and there's no money in it either.
Well, it's hard to get a chigger to pay.
Yeah, all righty. 893-1450 is our phone number. If you have any questions or comments this morning, give us a shout, 893-1450. Mitchell is not only willing, but he is able to take on any question that you might have.
Oh, we'll provide an answer. Sometimes they'll be right, but we'll always provide an answer.
Now, one of the things, and since we're back into lawn mowing time.
There we are.
You had in past years talked about the old push mowers with the real type blades.
Real mowers, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're mistaken. You use the plural, and that mower only has one blade.
Okay, the real type. Now, I have seen some of these pulled along behind tractors.
Each gang only has one blade, but the reel does not cut anything.
Now,
the reel pulls the grass to the blade.
Do those really do a neater job?
As far as quality of cut, they are absolutely the best ones out there.
Hmm.
In terms of doing a neat job, a clean cut, they cut with a scissors-like action, whereas a rotary lawnmower cuts with a... Basically, it beats the ends of the grass blades off because there's nothing holding it while the blade turns against it. But a reel mower does. It has a stationary blade. All the reel does is pull the grass against the blade, pulls it against the blade as the mowing unit moves forward, and it clips it versus beating or chewing it off. And you'll notice when a rotary mower is used, especially if the blades are a little bit dull, you'll see a jagged end appearance on the grass tips, and they'll turn brown as they dry out, because they'll dry out pretty fast. They lose a lot of water through that, and so you get this kind of a off-color look across the surface of the lawn right after you mow, or a day or so after you mow it, because it is does have those jagged tips and a brown leaf. You're not going to see that as much with a real type mower. But the downside on a real mower is that it does a super job of cutting grass, but it doesn't cut broadleaf plants, weeds, and so on very well. Doesn't cut, like if the grass has, say, seed heads in it, it's for whatever reason, it does not cut that seed stalk. It's very difficult to make it do that. So you've got to have pretty decent grass.
So if you have weeds and things, the real mower is
That's not your best choice, no. Your best choice would be, in that case, would be a rotary mower.
And I guess our parents and grandparents that we remember the old real mowers, they used them because there wasn't anything else.
Well,
better than
that
a sickle.
Choice. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's probably faster than using a scythe or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, okay.
So, and a lot of folks didn't have grass anyway. You know, they have swept yard.
I do remember some old pictures.
Yeah.
How did they keep the grass away?
Well, usually there's enough traffic, you know, chickens and kids and horses and things like that. Traffic in the yards kept them down. And they would have swept yards where, you know, on Saturday it was a common practice to go out and sweep the yard. Yeah, or some day of the week. I know.
I heard my mother talking about it.
Well,
100 years ago or what was
no,
it,
it hadn't been that far back because my parents were born in the 20s, and I've heard them speak of that when they
sweep
were kids.
Sweep the yard.
Yeah, have a swept yard.
Okay. If some of you have some stories about sweeping the yard, call us. I'd like to hear that. I've seen some old family photographs with the yards with no grass.
Bare, yeah, just bare
yards. It didn't cross my mind as to why, but, you know, the kids would be out there
well,
playing.
In traffic. You know, a lot of chickens, folks kept chickens. And actually, really, established lawns in the United States started to become more prevalent, more popular in the World War II era when the housing boom started and so on. That's when lawn care took off in the United States.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
The gentleman that you have there, I heard him talking about the youngins, the chickens and everything. Well, I'm not quite yet 100, and I'm in between.
Me too.
But I remember when growing up out in the country, my mother, she always said that people judges you by the way your yard looks, and you had to have a clean yard. And we would go out in the grassy areas, we would have to rake it up and everything and put it in a certain place at the corner of the garden, and then we would sweep the rest of the yard that didn't have grass on it, and we had to sweep it up, pick it up in the dustpan, throw it in the trash can.
Interesting. So, this wasn't that long ago then.
It's not that long ago. And I'm pretty sure people out in the country is still doing it. You know, it's not that popular anymore, but it can be done. I'm pretty sure people does it.
All right.
So, y'all have a good one.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Sort of a trip down memory lane there.
Well, it is. And, you know, what she said about folks would be judged by the appearance of the place. And, well, you know, that's still very common today, regardless of whether you live in a subdivision or in a city neighborhood or, you know, on a country lot or on a farmstead. Folks still have a tendency to make judgments about the family that lives there, even though they may not know the family, just by the way the place looks, you know, the way if it's neat, trimmed up well, fences are in good shape, you know, things like that. So, yeah, it's...
What's popular has changed?
Instead
of sweeping the yard, green grass,
neatness counts, though. Yeah, yeah, but whether it's covered with grass or whether it's covered with bare soil, you can have a neat-looking yard or you can have a not-so-neat-looking yard, regardless.
So. Yeah. So xeriscaping was around then?
Xeriscaping was around then, although maintenance was still involved.
All righty. 893-1450. Mitchell Motes with us this morning. 893-1450. If you have a lawn or garden question this morning, 893-1450. We're going to take a little break here to see how the traffic is doing, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
only place you'll hear good neighbor talk is WGNS Murfreesboro.
Hello, Rutherford County. You're listening to 1450 WGNS Murfreesboro.
Spread that news.
Need better fuel economy? Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today. Ford now has four vehicles that get 40 miles to the gallon or more. The Ford Fusion Hybrid, the Ford Electric Focus, the regular Ford Focus, and the Ford Fiesta all get 40 miles per gallon. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Ford of Murfreesboro can be found online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots. Family Staffing Solutions.
They have made me feel like I am truly someone to them, and that means a lot.
Stay independent at home, in charge.
I've never seen anything in my life that has been more outstanding than this company.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning once again. Wrapping up our traffic reports for this morning. Traffic easing a bit on I-24 at 231, also I-24 at 96. Still rather busy. Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane, also Old Fort Parkway at Chaffin. Also, we're seeing lots of traffic still at Medical Center Parkway at the I-24 junction. Heads Up Hair Salon is Nashville's original walk-in salon, family-oriented for over 30 years. They're open early and late in nine different Middle Tennessee locations. Log on to HeadsUpHaircuttingSalon.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Showers and thunderstorms are likely for today. Mainly cloudy skies, a high in the upper 70s. We'll have a south wind at times feeling breezy. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Right now, 66.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. I hope you're not going to have to stand in the corner in the pouring rain, although that could happen today.
It could happen to someone standing on the corner, just like it might.
But you will be loved, like the song. Absolutely. We will be thinking about you.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today? Good morning.
Hello.
Hi there.
Listen, I have a question. Last summer, I had two trees in my front yard, a dogwood tree and another one that I really don't know what it was. It just had beautiful pink blooms on it once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went out one day and it was dead. The dogwood next to it was dead, and the grass on one side and the same side of each tree was dead.
Wow.
And then I had a tree in the back, a big older tree, that just died too, same way. And so people said things like, oh, it's a cedar virus. Well, if it was a cedar virus, well, wouldn't it have gotten the other trees?
That's strange. Have you heard anything like that before, Mitchell?
I'm going to get off the phone so I can hear your answer.
Okay, thank you. What about that? It sounds like just the trees in her yard just died all of a sudden.
That's what she described.
Yeah.
It is.
And now, the grass, too.
Why did they do that? Well, I don't know. I mean, we certainly don't have enough description here to...
Have you heard of something like that before?
Of trees, you know, dying suddenly?
And the grass right around them, the front yard, backyard, that's three trees.
Well, yeah, she described three there. Now, let's just stop and talk about it for a minute. A disease that would kill the grass is not going to kill the trees. They're not, they don't share a common disease per se. So, I would not think that a pathogen would affect the grass would also have any kind of a negative impact on the trees. Now, there are, it's not uncommon at all in hot weather, and I believe she described it in the summertime, for grass under trees to die, okay, simply because of heat and lack of water and so on. But now the trees themselves, things that will kill trees, okay, first of all, insects will certainly kill trees.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not uncommon. As a matter of fact, it is just generally, you're probably better off to never make a statement, a general statement of 100%. But I can almost say with 100% certainty that if insects have killed a tree, it didn't just happen overnight. The tree may have a very rapid decline and seem to die in a short period of time, but the insect infestation has occurred over a long period of time, and enough damage is done until finally the tree just succumbs to it, and you know, it reaches the tipping point and it declines real fast, and it looks like a overnight death, if you will. You wake up one morning, the tree looks pretty good. You go out the next day, and this thing is looking sick, and then right soon it's dead after that. So, I mean, insects can certainly do that, and an infestation of insects over a period of time is a very common occurrence, especially on landscape trees that are not under an irrigation system that have gone through some stresses, say back in 2007 during the Easter freeze and the resulting drought and extreme temperatures that came with that. There were a lot of trees that suffered, and you'll see tree deaths, if a person could trace it back to it, that are still happening because of that, because of the tree was placed into a weakened state that made it susceptible, say, to flathead borer, roundhead borer insect infestation. And it just takes enough time for that damage to happen in order for death to occur. Now, there are diseases, okay, that will attack trees. Generally, they do not kill in a real rapid period of time either. It's a slower decline. It may be a bit faster than with the insects, but it's not an overnight thing. Diseases, vascular diseases such as Verticillium wilt, Fusarium wilt, will kill the tree. I mean, it's not one of those things that, well, it's going to be sick and it just linger on for a long time. When they get that, they're going to die because there's nothing you can do to stop it. And it may look pretty good for a while and then start to show those symptoms and then decline very rapidly. Also, you know, when you see something where the grass and whatnot, the foliage on one side of the tree or on the grass on the ground on one side of the tree has been killed, and then, you know, the tree goes into decline. You wonder if, and again, I'm just listing possibilities, you wonder if there was, you know, some kind of an herbicide that was used there, spilled there, or some other material that would cause damage and be picked up through the roots of the tree and cause some death there. But, I mean, no, that's not a widespread occurrence, you know, to have the trees that just rapidly just go down, boom, all across one landscape, all across one lawn, without being some evidence of something else associated with that.
An herbicide spill would be less likely in the front and backyard, but the bugs, insects,
the bugs, absolutely, it's very possible. You know, she said something about a cedar virus. Well, I don't know what a cedar virus is. There certainly is a disease called cedar apple rust. Let's back up. There's cedar apple rust, there's cedar hawthorn rust, there's cedar crab apple rust, etc. It's a two-part disease.
So cedar and the other plant?
Cedar and the other plant. It doesn't do anything really
not
hurt
just
the
apples,
cedar.
Sam.
No, and it doesn't attack everything, but it does attack hawthorn, cedars, quince, and so on, things like that. Crabapple. Part of the life begins in the cedar tree, and it the cedar apples erupt in the spring of the year. We'll have these galls or cedar apples hanging in the cedar trees, and the when they become active, it'll be this mass of orange tendrils hanging out of the tree, just gelatinous orange tendrils, kind of bright orange, weird looking, maybe like some kind of an alien organism has attacked the tree, but it's just hanging there in the foliage. Well, that thing is active at that point. It's releasing spores, and they're carried by the wind, and then they'll settle on susceptible as well as non-susceptible plants. And those that are susceptible are then infested with or infected with the disease, and they start to show the symptoms of it. And so let's say on a susceptible apple tree, the tree will begin to develop light colored rusty or yellow looking lesions in the foliage, just lots and lots of them, like it's got a bad case of the measles. And then the leaves will just gradually turn yellow, and the thing will be, you know, prematurely defoliated early in the season. And if that goes on often enough, then the whole thing will die, because it just, as a loss of energy over time, you know, just that continual stress over a period of time. Nothing bad is the cedar tree does fine, but then the other tree that's infected from it is the one that usually suffers. So, you know, if I mean, that's a possibility too. Lots of diseases out there like that. Cedar rust is one of those.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
He was talking about, the lady was talking about her trees dying in my yard, in the backyard. It wasn't the front yard, but in the backyard. I had this huge tree, and it was real pretty when we first bought the house and everything, and then we kept noticing things different about this tree, and got to looking at it real good, and my husband says this tree is dying, and it's just like it's just hollow, and got to checking into it, and these bugs, now they look just exactly like a cockroach, but these suckers are huge. Biggest bugs I've ever laid my eyes on that looks like a cockroach, and they fly. They got wings and they will fly. And they ate that tree up. They damaged that tree so bad that I had some people to come in and cut the tree down. And when they cut that tree down, it was rotted on the inside. And those bugs was everywhere.
Everywhere. Oh.
And I had, and if I'd have known that, I'd have burnt that tree. And, but it, bugs will tear it, I mean, bugs will get a hold of the tree and tear it all to pieces.
What did you do anything with the bugs after you saw all
the? No, they went into the ground and they just left.
Oh, scary.
I've not seen them since, but I didn't have that one tree in the backyard. But, I mean, they damaged the tree so bad that it's just, it was awful. And, but I did I live in Cannon County, and I took a dead one, and I took a live one of that bug to the people down here at the UT office, and they told me it was a Japanese beetle.
Ooh, yeah.
No, I don't believe it.
You don't think so? Okay.
No, Bart, because I know y'all both have seen cockroaches.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take a cockroach and you times that thing times 10.
Oh man!
I know it. This is a huge bug, and they can fly. They've got wings. They can fly.
And they went into the ground after you cut the tree down.
And they went into the ground after the tree was cut down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it was unreal. I've never seen them in my life. And I thought they were cockroaches. I honestly did. And I thought, I told my husband, I said, as old as I am, I've never seen a cockroach that big in my life.
Well, let's talk with Mitchell about that. What would, she said the bug basically ate the tree out. Is that right? Ate the inside of the tree?
Yes, that tree was hollow on the inside when they cut it down.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. As I said, there are a number of insects that will attack them. You've got the boring class of insects, the flatheads and the roundhead borers. You've got the bark beetles that cause damage. You know, you remember a few years back, the southern pine beetle really caused a lot of pine death East Tennessee and in the Cumberland Plateau, and kind of working back towards this way.
Is that what those things are, a beetle?
Probably it is, or it's I wouldn't say that's necessarily a beetle per se, but what you described, based on the size of it, I would call a longhorn beetle. And when we think about beetles, you know, you think about June bugs and black ground beetles and so on. It's going to be a great big long thing.
Yeah, I know you're talking. These things looks like it's about the size of a June bug.
Yeah, are these, well, actually, you know, a longhorn beetle would be larger than that. They'd be more like a mature one's going to be 3/4 of an inch to an inch long. They'll be longer than they are wide. And they have a very, very long antennae, and they consume a lot of trees. And they're various ones. What kind of tree was it that you had that died?
It was my husband called it a water maple.
Okay, so it's a maple tree. Yeah. By the way, what color were these bugs? Do you recall?
Brown, just like a roach. Okay. Just like a cockroach. Okay. They were brown.
So it could have
been. That's what I thought they were.
It could have been a longhorn beetle. And there are a large variety of those that attack different. Some can be quite colorful, and others are very mundane, plain in color.
They're awful.
Bart's Googled up some, got some pictures of them right up here. And, yeah, that's a very common appearance. They are. There's a new one that's been introduced in the United States. It's called the Emerald Ash Borer. It's a longhorn beetle.
Now, weren't they coming across Tennessee?
They've been found in Tennessee and upper East Tennessee. They caused some quarantines of some counties up there so that wood can't be moved in and out.
So, they're awful. But anyway, I'm going to let y'all go and listen to you on the radio.
All right,
y'all have a good day.
Thanks. Now, we have had a mild winter this year, and people are talking about, well, we're going to have a real infestation of bugs and insects.
We have bugs every year.
But with a mild winter, does it make it worse, or is that a wives' tale?
You know, Bart, people differ in opinion on that, but mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to be any worse off than we would have been otherwise. We have bugs every year. They tend to, you know, have peaks and lows in their populations. You know, they're up and down. I can't imagine it. It's going to influence it a whole lot one way or the other.
Is there anything people can do to reduce the problems that this lady and our other caller had? Because both of those, hers, obviously, she saw the problem being insects, and the other one probably was insects.
That would be the most common thing, to attack three separate trees of three different species. Mm-hmm. Diseases tend to be a little more, you know, species specific or for trees within the same family of trees. Now, you know, if you got an oak tree and a dogwood tree, the same diseases are not as significant on one as they're on the other. So they're going to vary there, but the same insects can be significant on both of those. Well, you know, you advertise a product that does a good job towards preventing a lot of these insect problems. A imidacloprid-based insecticide that's applied to the soil around the trees. You do it once per year on an annual basis, early in the spring. Now is the time to do that.
Is it the all-season spray oil?
That's the one that you advertise. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There are a lot of products that are identical to that in their makeup. Will do that same kind of a job, but you apply it to the soil around the tree. It's a systemic insecticide picked up and carried up into the tree itself. And then when some insects feed on the tree, you know, they ingest the insecticide, and so you control them before a lot of damage is done. It's not 100% against all things, but it's 100% against a lot of them. Does a very good job. And I would do want to say that I don't know how many trees, Bart, that I've have looked at for folks. You know, the tree died, and even had suspicions that someone, maybe a neighbor or someone, had done something to the tree in terms of poisoning. And you know, you never know until you get there and look. But in every case, there's always been other causes very apparent, other than just, you know, some nefarious schemer out there trying to poison the tree. Most often, it's going to be the insects that do that.
Now, I have noticed in the ads that Bonide has on the station, they are not using that particular one this week anyway. Are we out of the season for it, or can you use it all the time?
No, you can apply it any time the tree's growing. But if you want to give it season-long protection, you do it as the growth begins in the spring of the year, because the tree has to be actively growing in order to pick it up and move it. You know, you've got to have sap flow.
Oh,
so
okay.
The tree's got to be out of its dormancy and growing.
Okay. The thing that they are doing as far as promoting with Bonide goes. And this sort of ties in with our conversation on sweeping the lawn and you know, what's practice, you know, what is the thing that people like now to make your yard look nice? In the old days, it was sweeping the lawn.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I think most people would say nice green grass.
Yeah, mold green grass, yeah.
So if you want the best-looking lawn in your neighborhood, let Bonide products help you be the envy of your neighborhood with their new, easy-to-use DuraTurf 4 Phase Lawn Builder. All you need is the Phase 4. It just works. The four-phase program rids your lawn of over 200 broadleaf and grassy weeds, and that includes crabgrass, nutsedge, and dandelions. This will take care of the surface insects like fleas and ticks while slowly feeding your lawn throughout the year. Man, that sounds good.
Sounds like good stuff.
I like that. Bonide offers up to $35 gift certificate for the store where the Bonide 4-Phase Lawn program is purchased. You can also buy the 4 phases individually as you need them throughout the year. So don't let weed and insects take over your lawn. Get Bonide's DuraTurf 4-Phase program for a picture-perfect lawn. And you're asking yourself, where can I get this stuff that he's talking about? It sounds phenomenal. You can get it at two places here in town, two places. One of them, the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church over at the Co-op. And the other one, Martin's Home and Garden.
Martin's Greenhouse.
Yeah, that's a neat place. I love to go there.
Oh, they're good places.
That's on Broad, right across from Demas Restaurant. If you go at the right time of the day, you can go in there and do some shopping, see everything. You need to get some neat garden tools, go across the street, eat lunch. Come back, do some more shopping. I mean, I could spend the day.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good place to do it, too.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Bart.
Well, good morning.
I have a question to ask you, gentlemen.
Okay, and we have a question for you, too.
We know at Christmas time you can go out and find a Christmas tree farm.
Okay.
And we know there's places where you can go pick blackberries. But now I've got a question. I have a hard time finding elderberries. It has to be on the side of a road, a country road, or somewhere where they can't push hogs. But I want to know, are there any farms out there that raise elderberries that you could go pick, and then you'd have to weigh them or something? I don't know how you'd pay for them, but do y'all know of any place where you can do that?
I'm not aware of any that advertise that they have elderberries either for sale or for self-pick, either one. If there are any out there, I tell you where you could find them. It's through the Pick Tennessee Products website, sponsored by the Tennessee Department of Agriculture. It's called picktnproducts.org, and they have a listing of those farms that have strawberries and blueberries and, you know, Christmas trees and sell vegetables, et cetera, all those kinds of things. So that if they are aware of any folks that are in the elderberry production business, then they're going to have them listed on that list. But personally, I do not know of anyone.
Well, I appreciate that. It's getting harder and harder to find these. More and more people are collecting these. They go out on the side of these little country roads, and, you know, elderberry does, most of the time, they don't have time to get too large because somebody's going to pick those little berries.
Right.
And bugs get there. You can make jam and jellies.
Yes, sir.
And it's probably some of the best wine you can make.
Well, I was going to say, I've heard of elderberry wine being made a time or two, so I expect a lot of it goes into that as well.
No. Yeah, I think. Well, let me say something. Back when I was 8 or 10 years old, I can remember going to a little country church with my parents, and you'd go to that church and you'd come back to somebody's house. They'd be probably 15 to 20 people there. The lady would go inside and cook. The gentlemen would gather around. This is on Sunday now, it's a day of rest, and they would talk and tell stories, but they also swept the lawn. They didn't have any grass there. There were big hickory trees, but there was just dirt, and they call that sweeping the lawn. I saw that part, but I was young then, and I can't remember a lot about it. But they didn't have those little rail mowers back then because they didn't need them.
Didn't have any grass to cut, did they?
That's right. That's the truth. When you hear people talking about sweeping the lawn, it actually happened years ago.
Yeah, and we're talking, you know, this was a common thing in the 20s, the 30s, and so on. I say, lawn mowing didn't really take off until the 40s, probably.
Yeah, but I was born in 1930, so that would have been I'd say 8 or 10. That's about how old I was.
That's the right time to have seen it. You bet.
Now, but my parents did some drugging. They drug us to church. We didn't have any choice.
That's right. That's kind of drug problem we need more of.
Thank you. Listen, guys, I enjoy it. Well, did you have a question for me, Bart?
I did, Jack. I was going to ask you if you've seen any of these hummingbirds this year. You're the
not a one.
Not
I've
a one.
Got a feeder up, but I have not seen a single hummingbird feeder. Hummingbird.
You're our official hummingbird spotter, so if they're not at your place, they're not here yet.
I'll keep you enlightened. I'll tell you that. I'll let you know when they come in, Bart.
And good luck on finding the elderberries. Keep listening. Maybe somebody has some.
Yeah, maybe they'll tell you about a grove out there somewhere.
Yeah. Have a great day.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
893-1450. Friends talking to friends. That's what we do every day. Right here on WGNS. We'll be back and talk to some more friends. Do you have any elderberries out there? Like to hear from you. At least one person wants to hear from you.
You're faking a smile with the coffee to go. You tell me your life's been way offline. You fall into pieces every time.
Good Neighbor Talk focuses totally on the issues that impact the heart of Tennessee.
Oh, yeah?
This is your radio station, WGNS Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all those wonderful gift ideas, from our gift department to clothing. We have a hunting section.
We've really upped our selection of ammo and got really good prices on them.
That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. And also for your furry friends in our pet and bird section. So come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. We're located just off of South Church at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard. That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
We're back again, and let's take a real quick final phone call here. I just looked at the clock, and we've been having too much fun. Time is flying.
It's going by quick.
You're on WGNS with Mitchell Mote. How are you today?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Quick question. Maybe you covered it earlier. I just tuned in. I've got those big bumblebees, I call them, the striped ones, that are flying around, and they won't let me get near my back of the house where there is some wood fencing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen where they've drilled holes, you know, circular, real like somebody took their drill out and drilled them perfect.
Yep.
So I just wonder how I get rid of them. I don't want them drilling.
Okay. Well, you have carpenter bees. It's not a bumblebee, although it looks very similar to bumblebee. They're making their nests in there, and so if you've got some that have made nest cavities in that wood fence material, go in there in the evening around dark time, because they're not going to be active then. If they have made a nest, they should be in there on that nest at that point. Take yourself a good piece of stiff wire, like a coat hanger, if you can still find a wire coat hanger, and straighten it out, and take and run that up in the hole to destroy any eggs as well as the female that may be in there. And you can also, if you don't want to run the wire up in there, you can take say an insecticide like 7 or a Delta Dust or some one of those dust insecticides and puff up in there, and then seal the hole up with a dowel rod, drive it up in there, maybe seal it over with some liquid wood, but that's going to be your best bet. And you may try treating the wood itself with an insecticide such as permethrin to help keep them from coming in there.
Mitchell Moat, our guest this morning, right here on WGNS Murfreesboro. Mitchell, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Bart.